I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes. Not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that. Actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera. Hear something weird or something like that.
Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Paul with the SEPS Paranormal Podcast. Check us out twice a month where we will be discussing our most recent paranormal investigations here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
You can find us at www.sepsparanormal.podshow.com or go to our website, sepsparanormal.org.
Or you can subscribe through iTunes. Just type in SEPS Paranormal in the search field. Come by and check us out.
Yeah. Do you believe in things that go bump in the night? Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. Whether you're an amateur or a professional paranormal investigator, the Night Watchers want you to investigate some of the country's most haunted places. The Night Watchers want you. Already in a group? Perfect. Groups are welcome. Join today at nightwatchers.info. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. The future of paranormal investigation.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
And Bonnie.
And Bonnie.
And Bonnie. We got a part of the 2008 Refresh Project.
There we go. I think that's number one on number, the list.
I think I have that chronologically. We need to add Bonnie to the bumpers.
Yes, I have a prophecy myself. 2008, we're adding Bonnie to the bumper.
We need to add Bonnie to the bumpers, or we're all going to get hurt severely.
Yes.
This is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
I am Doug.
And I am bumperless Bonnie.
That can be thought of in a variety of different ways.
My goodness.
We'll save those for after the new year.
Yeah, please do.
It is Prophecy Night, part four here tonight on Ghostly Talk with the illustrious Derek Whitesky-Cloud. You screwed me up, Doug.
I should read that name.
Why don't you
Derek Whitesky-Cloud. We've got Cattell. Yes?
What is that, Derek?
I'm here.
Oh, hi. Excellent.
Your lips are rented.
Well, of course we have Homie 3 on the line.
Yes, yes.
And he's not going to talk to us anymore. We have Victor Baines in the house.
Mm.
Yep.
We have Jill Dane.
Yes, it's Jill Dane.
And of course Scott Christensen.
Thanks for staying with us guys over the break and hanging out. It's this is good. I mean, I enjoy doing these things because there's always talking on the breaks too.
Yeah.
We step away. We got to step away for a second, but it's there's interaction going on and. Well,
I needed my pop.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get through a half hour.
I needed my water jug.
Exactly.
Here
I'll be honest, I needed to smoke.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't smoked in 2 weeks.
Before we went to break, we were going to move into talking more about 2012. I don't know who would... I know Scott and... who was that, Doug? Scott and...
Oh, well, that's the thing. I was looking through the list, and it was...
Yeah.
Cattell specifically said, I want to talk about 2012.
Yeah.
And Scott says, I want to talk about 2012. And then we talk about 2012, but we talked about it with everyone else.
Well, why don't we do ladies first here? Cattell, you're on the line, correct?
Yep.
Why don't we start with you? Is there something that you want to start with specifically with 2012, or do we just want to jam on this?
Well, I'd like to jam on it, but let me give a couple of ideas that have come into me, a couple of visions I've seen.
Okay.
Number one, I absolutely agree the world will not end in 2012.
Yay!
I go on record saying that.
Okay.
Thank you. I keep seeing things happening to my clients. I keep seeing things happening in the future with 2012. And as an astrologer, I recognize that 2012 symbolizes a significant change. But the most important thing is that it heralds a time of peace. Worldwide, there are going to be some stressful points before then. There are going to be some bumps in the road prior to then. But the point is, we are going to move into a space where we're going to begin to experience in an empathic way other people's energy. What I see 2012 doing is creating a huge consciousness shift out of the body and into, it's almost like our brains have only been limited, we've heard scientists say we can only use our brains about 8 to 10%. Well, that's because we're focused on the body. We're focused on the physical reality. Mm-hmm. But I truly believe that come 2012, we as a people, as a community on Earth, will become far more available and far more aware of non-physical dimensions. I mean, just the Internet itself has opened up our consciousness. This is the first time in history that I know of that we've been able to literally produce money out of thin air. You know, people laugh when I say that, but they think about it and they go, well, my
radio
God, that's
wave,
right.
TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree on that.
I see a shifting more toward interacting in a virtual way, but that doesn't stop us from interacting with our bodies as well.
Hey, hey.
I believe there's going to be a lot of holographic
Yay.
Things. And everyone
Sorry,
in the
Gattel.
Studio
I'm really happy that
well,
we don't
we
have
may
to.
Be able to enjoy the pleasures of the flesh virtually as well. Who knows?
Ooh, it gets better.
It gets even better.
Great.
Hey, we could check it out.
I'm sure I won't be allowed.
Well, here's, Gattel, if I may ask, I mean, do you feel like right now, because, I mean, look around right now with media and the TV especially, and there's lots of radio shows on the subject. You guys are on one right now. It's grown exponentially in the last couple of years. I mean, and I think one of the positive points of that is that there are a lot more people that are thinking outside of the box, for lack of a better term, right? People are thinking more about spiritualism. You know, the entry point may be through ghost hunting and stuff like that, but I know for a fact that that's what my entry point was, you know, into studying spiritualism and things like that.
Yeah, whatever gets hunting. You there.
Yeah.
Okay, can I say something?
Sure, of course. Go ahead.
Okay, I've been on radio since I was 6 years old, and I used to sit when I was on WIOD at 15 next to Larry King. He used to have a show right next to my mom and I.
Yeah.
And back then, if you would ask somebody, what's, you know, you're going to meet a Sag, people would be like, who's a Sagittarian? What is a Sagittarian? and you would say, oh, it's Mercury retrograde coming. What's Mercury retrograde? No one knew.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are more in tune and they became more spiritual and they're all familiar with this. You know, and now, but back then, oh, my God, if you would say some of these things, they'd be like, oh, my God, what is that? What is that? Now,
maybe in a few major cities it's like that, but not all across America. It's still, there are still out there in the sticks.
I know. This is nothing spiritual, but I was on the phone with a client this morning before I went to go do the radio show, and I said, you know, she goes, Joe, I just met somebody you predicted for me, and I don't know what to get him for Christmas. And I said, why don't you go to the store and get him Ed Hardy? And they're like, what's Ed Hardy? Okay. That's in Massachusetts.
No, really? Massachusetts?
Yeah. I'm like, go to Macy's. They have Ed Hardy. But that has nothing to do with spirituality. But, you know, some people are not in tune to certain things, you know? And nowadays, you know, like I went to Wisconsin, they had a parade, and it was like really nice. But the thing is, they're into ghosts. They have like these woods that they say that are haunted, and you know, a lot of people down there, you know, and this is like Burlington. A lot of people down there are very much into spirituality and intuition and what's going on. So, you know, I found out a lot of these towns that I visited when I was like 11, 12 years old that weren't are, you know, getting up there now.
Well, that's the thing.
They're
that's
waking
what I was,
up.
That's what I was saying in regards to what Gattel was saying is that I think there is a lot more opening up now.
Children especially, you know, children are becoming, you know, more spiritual. People are listening to children now. Mm-hmm. But back then, I mean, back in the 30s, back in the 40s, my God, if a child would say, I see, you know, grandma in the house and grandma's been passed away for years, they'll be like, what
they
are you talking about?
They get a switch and spank their little butts with it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now the mothers are listening. What did grandma say? Did she mention me? You know, what was she wearing?
Well, that's what I was saying.
Well, sometimes that still happens. But once or two, some of the churches, and I'm not saying always Catholic, but some of the churches, especially the nuns, if you're going to school, they would beat it out of you and tell you cannot accept that. That happens at times, and I dealt with that when I was young. We dealt with a lot of disadvantages that if you have the ability to see, they try to tell you not to see, and they had to teach. They were trying to teach tell kids that it's just your imagination. Now today, it's where now the kids get to say something. The parents are not the same ones that we had been raised by in the past. We never had the teachers that taught us how to see the future. And now we have more people out there that want to share the information, because a lot of people are our age, are coming out more now wanting to teach the children, to share with them, say, yes, your gift is even far more than ours. And my understanding is the coming of the new, basically what it really is, 2012 is called the coming of the new age. What it really means, what I understand, what Spirit has told me, that everyone's coming to become, go through the awakening, and the awakening is they're going to start seeing things more and feeling emotionally more, mm-hmm. just like we are now.
Exactly.
And it's going to affect everyone.
The empathy is going to be totally opened up in a way that war will become obsolete, simply because when you feel another person's pain, you cannot
yes.
hurt them.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You know, White Cloud, you know, I was just watching, I was putting some tapes together of my mother and I for a TV show. And it's amazing how back in the 70s, I forgot what your, the general there, I forgot what his name is, who was running for, you know, to take over Canada. I forgot what his name was. But we were up in Canada at the time doing CBC radio, CBC television, and City TV
yeah.
TV. And they were like, there's no way this person's, I forgot what his name is, but they were like, no way this person is going to be taking over. And my mom kept saying, I don't know who he is. I keep seeing this name. And next thing you know, he took over Canada. This is back in the 70s.
That would be time. That would be Pierre Trudeau.
Yeah, I think, no, there was another man. I forgot what his name was, running for something.
We don't have presidents.
Yeah,
we have ministers.
Yeah, ministers. Yeah, you're right. It was ministers.
Yeah.
But I was just watching that, and back then it was amazing. Like, we'd walk through the streets of Canada, and we'd be saying things to people with the microphone on City TV, and they'd be
uh-huh.
like, who are you? How do you know these things, you know? And it was like having a conversation. But the people there, they were so in tune. It was amazing. You know, in Canada,
they where were we are in Canada,
spiritual.
We're so open spiritually all the way across Canada, from the eastern coast to the western coast. We're so open about spirit. That's why there's more people that are so open into it here compared to whether it's any other country.
In Toronto and Montreal.
The 70s and 80s. Yeah.
It was back in the 70s and in the 80s as well. You're right. Back those, because that's how long I was going out to Canada. And
yeah.
the people there are just so in tune. They're so open, you know, and they're so spiritual. And they're
yes.
good people out there. Really good people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're so open arms. We don't care who you are, what you look like. You're all considered family. We don't close our doors. We keep them open. In fact, we're used to actually not even locking our doors in our houses, you know, but you just walk out, go to work, come back home.
I saw that on TV. I can't believe that.
What was that, Victor?
Yeah, there's a show on American TV
showing
about how the crime rate in Canada is not like it is here in the U.S., and people don't even lock their doors, and a news person would come up to a door and just open up the door and say hello to prove that people didn't lock their doors.
Do you know what?
Here, everybody locks their doors.
You drop them in Detroit. We'll drop them in Detroit for a little while. We'll straighten them out.
Do you know what's fascinating? We went to there was a paranormal conference in October in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so it was the first annual Chicago Paranormal Conference. And
mm-hmm.
so we go there, and I went with Evil Jonathan, actually.
J.H.
And we're driving down the road.
The unsung hero of Ghostly.
And we're driving down in downtown looking for the Congress Hotel, and we're driving down these roads, and there's people walking everywhere downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So I, of course, rolled my window down, and I go, it's not safe. What are you doing walking around downtown at night? It's dark. Go in. Go lock your doors. Go home. And evidently, even people in Chicago don't get it. I didn't understand. And then somebody had to explain to me that, no, Detroit's different. Detroit is just
yeah.
dangerous no matter
it's
what.
It's just dangerous bottom line.
Yeah.
Chicago's only dangerous in certain spots.
So I'm used to being under lockdown 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And Canada, of course, is the exact opposite. And evidently Chicago is somewhere in between the two.
Thank you for that commentary.
Yeah, that's all I had to say.
Well,
yeah, in fact, you know what? If you look at the comparisons even with the gun laws, in the U.S., you guys carry guns, handguns. Here in Canada, we don't allow that. You can actually have a rifle, but it has to be a hunting rifle, and it has to be on your gun rack. You don't have to lock it. But we look at it as being common sense. We don't go shoot somebody with a rifle. If somebody's going to get shot, they use a handgun. Seldom anybody ever wants to go murder somebody. And if it is a drive-by shooting, it's actually gang-related. It's not city-related by some person who's actually been a strange husband. A strange husband would either just shake his fist at his wife and actually have to shoot her. As a politician, if you don't agree with someone, you shake your fist. You know, in the U.S., they just take most time. Most people, our understanding is that we have a belief that we would hear that, you know, if somebody got themselves in trouble, they shoot you. Here, we just wave our fists and say, we don't like it, we'll call a politician.
Wow. Yeah, we can't do that. That's much more we can do it, but it doesn't work.
But 2000, well, go ahead, Doug.
Is that even going to work in Detroit? Are we going to be more sympathetic to
you? Shake your fist when you go to the bank here. I mean, that's mellow stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, is Detroit going to be affected by this 2012 phenomena?
Cattell. Let's go back to Cattell. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
I feel this is going to end up, it may take a couple of years into 2012. You know, it could go till as far as 2014. But I believe it's going to spread worldwide, and that would include Detroit.
Thank goodness. Well, no, my point was, though.
The Upper Peninsula?
All those Upers are so happy.
They're really lame. Scott Christensen and see what he has to say.
Yeah, Scott.
After all, so far, everybody else is basically saying it's not the end of the world for 2012.
Scott, let's hear from you. You're right, homie. Scott, what do you think?
Well, it's the end of the world.
Oh, there we go. I'll close shop
now. Now it's a hung jury. Great. Thanks.
You know, there's got to be one in every group. No, I do believe that 2012 has a lot of very interesting things around it, from historical to astrological, numerological. I mean, every way you look at this thing, it all spells change. And, you know, to some of the people earlier talked about how it has become a doorway to really get people talking about their own change, about what they see coming for themselves, about the metaphysical, the paranormal, all of these things. And from that standpoint, I think that it's going to have a lot of really good things. But I also do believe, and, you know, over the last 10 years, you've seen a crazy amount of weather changes, and I believe that's going to pinnacle also around 2012. Also to look at, you know, really every area of life to see how not only the war and the fuel prices and the real estate market falling out is having obviously huge effects on the economy of the country, and I believe that too is going to propel forward. And so really it's affecting every area of our physical, our economic, our political, our social, and our spiritual lives are all kind of intertwined right now. It's really reaching a crescendo, I believe, is around 2012. And with that, it's forcing a lot of people to look internally, and with a lot of the clients that I see and come in contact with, more and more people are feeling that urge to do something. The living Groundhog's Day that's just living a repeating pattern, people are finding isn't working daily. And the closer we get to 2012, the more people see that it's not working and they need to change whatever it is, internally or externally.
You know, it is a bit of a wake-up call when you purchase a house for, let's say, $200,000,
mm-hmm.
and then you still owe the bulk, the majority of that on it.
You've been paying on the interest for 10 years.
And
only.
All you can do is sell it for $100,000, for $100,000 to $120,000, because the real estate market was, you know, the rug was pulled out from under you, and now you have no footing whatsoever.
The real estate market's going to go back up, and interest rates will go down.
Yeah, it is a bit disheartening. I mean, they tell you this is the American dream. You're going to own your own house, or Canadian dream in some one case. But
the mortgage company's dream.
It's the mortgage company's dream.
So we've got this commercial guys. You ever seen that commercial where all these guys are bankers, and this guy comes out with a big wad of money, and he's actually supposed to be some sort of a pest control, and he comes out with a big roll of money, he slaps it in the wind, all of a sudden these bankers come up behind the chair furniture and stuff, and he says, yep, yeah, it's banker disease.
Right.
And I have seen that before.
A lot of people get disheartened. I mean, I can't I can't help but get disheartened myself when I, you know, you buy into this dream and then,
yeah.
and then I'm 2 years behind now all
yeah.
of a sudden. I can't make 80 grand or however much in several years, and I certainly mm-hmm. can't save it. How is that going to happen? So you're disheartened.
If you notice, not everyone is making an income as they're expected to be for the last 5 years. It's been basically going into what you call a calming. You're not gaining. You should be gaining. How come people say, how come I'm not gaining? Because right now, a lot of people are asleep. Their minds are not taking or accepting.
You people stay asleep. Don't all get together and organize and raise hell about the gas price being $3 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want 10,000 people to show up at the Exxon headquarters with rocks in their hands or anything.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's really what we need to have. And that's another thing. You're so far behind in your real estate investment, your house, why in the world, at that point, you're beat. You're beat. All it is that the gas pump is they're kicking you every time, you know. You're already beat down. So now we're kicking you as well every time you go to the gas pump. So I think people feel really, really... disheartened.
Help,
with
I'm trapped.
Do you know that your guys' gas is actually cheaper than ours?
How much is the gas in Canada?
A gas in Canada is $1.12 per liter, which
okay,
is approximately
so
about, you take 1/8 less off
well,
of
then
the
you
gallon.
Guys are getting screwed the hardest.
Exactly. And you know what? We have the oil fields here in Alberta, right, which is a province, you call it a state, one province over, and we have oil rigs here, but 70% of the oil rigs are owned by the Chinese.
Oh, my God. Now, there's a whole new area of discussion there. Now, they're talking about, Iran didn't even have all these nuclear weapons, and Bush was saying, claiming they did. They had just another paper tiger, you know, to make an issue of, to keep that money going to the military or whatever.
I can tell people there never was weapons of mass.
The people who do have nuclear weapons, and lots of them aimed at every city in this country, in Florida, Detroit, Canada, U.S., whatever, is China. And they got biological warheads, too, with, like, 12 different, bubonic plague, this, that, or whatever. I mean, they could scorch us and screw us hard permanently.
Why would anybody be so stupid?
They're not portrayed to be the bad guys.
I know, but why would anybody be so stupid to use a nuclear bomb to exterminate a populated world? Why?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's the fact. That's what they got. I'm not saying that they would use them. It's funny how the people who can blow us off the face of the earth are not looked at as any enemy, yet they're stealing just about every manufacturing job that's ever been created in this country, and they're controlling your oil fields in Canada or whatever.
Right, but there's propaganda against them.
Have you ever said a nuclear bomb to destroy a chunk of land, say Canada or United States, that's where the earth starts to deteriorate to the point where nothing will begin to survive. This is where everybody has to wake up. That's why when I talk to my elders that have talked about in many parts of our reservations, and they've all discussed the idea, and we've actually had a lot of our seers, like our elders, who actually has shared the documentation of the future, what's going to happen to our peoples, and I'm not talking about everyone, but I'm not talking about just our people alone, but everyone alone, and they've all said that if a country decides to destroy a land, which is a great land, continent, then the rest of the world starts to die off as well, because you start to make it sick. And so the earth is going to fight back, and it's going to drown that rest of the populated area that was being destroyed. The ones that destroyed it, the earth is going to fight back and drown that out and clean up that part and bring it back to reheal.
And I want to go. We'll go ahead.
Yeah, the more I do the show, the more I believe in the interconnectedness of all things. And exactly. Unfortunately, though, we do have to interconnect with a break.
Very nice.
Right now.
That was one hell of a segue.
I worked on that.
But no, I want to talk about that more when we come back from the break, though.
Because I really believe that you are absolutely right. That
right on.
You destroy a part of the Earth, and they're going to feel it in the entire rest of the Earth.
The Earth will feel it.
We'll know that.
We'll be feeling this more after the break, though.
Let's do it.
This is Ghost Attack. I'm Scott Allen.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
I saw you in my dream. Don't know who you are. Your lifeless, twisted body. Yeah.
to Darker Side of the Moon, Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
I want to give out the websites again.
Yeah, good idea.
Websites, so that everybody has them in their browsers.
Mm-hmm.
We have, of course, on the panel today, we've got Homie3, and his website is www.homie3, that's H-O-M-E-Y, the number 3.com. We also have Derek White Skycloud, which is, his website is www.whiteskycloud.com. All run together, no hyphens or anything like that. WhiteSkyCloud.com. We've got Cattell, of course, and her website is www.cattells.com. That's CATTELS.com. We've got Victor Baines on the line, and his website is, of course, www.NostradamusUSA.com. We've got Jill Dane at JillDane.com. That's J-I-L-L-D-A-H-N-E.com. And Scott Christensen, whose website is, of course, www.ConnectWithScott.com.
Scott, you stole that from me.
As a matter of fact, yeah, that would be a very interesting
website. I was trying to get my own Connect with Scott.
He's like, Connect with Scott. Oh, it's taken.
Ah, yeah, damn it.
Let's be careful about that word on, you know, stealing and stuff. You see, if we were in certain other countries in this world, they'd chop our heads.
Yeah, they'd chop a hand off.
I am so kidding around, Scott. That website is all yours. That domain belongs to you. It is all yours. Before we went to break, we were, Derek, I believe, sometimes I mix the voices up. I'm sorry, guys. We got a lot of people on the line. But, Derek, we were talking about the Earth and how if you destroy a part of the Earth, the Earth will respond in a very negative way, from what I understand.
Well, it's a positive way for the Earth, because it's...
Well, yeah, it's for the Earth, but we see it as a negative, because, for example, in our territories, you notice that a lot of people are clear-cutting more lands, even on our reservations, and they're not supposed to do that, and the lumber companies that come in, the government says, well, you know, the heck with you, and they start clear-cutting land without getting permission, and because they want to clear-cut trees, and they think, well, could we need more housing? They don't really need more housing. They're just trying to make profit out of us. But, well, I'm saying that because the more you start taking down land, no matter what country you're in, the lesser the air, oxygen is available for you. And it's just plain common sense because their oxygen gives back to us, and we need to breathe that. And we need the freshness of the air from the vegetation and from nature itself. And when you start losing nature, the animals start to find a place to eat. And what happens is, if there's no trees, they start flying into traffic and they die. And I'll tell you why, because last year I found 8 dead owls laying on the side of the highway. 8 individual dead owls.
Oh my God.
On the side of the highway, because the government comes in, they clear-cutted 5 square miles of land, which an owl, for example, needs 5 square miles of feeding area. And they clear-cut all that land without even telling us, letting us know what they're doing.
Hire some attorneys and sue them.
They can't. In Canada, you can't go after them. You can protest, but you can't do anything about it because if they don't inform you quietly, if they don't say nothing, nobody says anything. But if anybody who's a citizen who finds out what they're doing, then we'll protest and make a big issue about it. Oh, well, it's too late. All the trees are gone.
Look, meantime, all the bees.
They get fined $1,000 for clear-cutting all those trees.
Yeah, they're going to make $50 million from doing that.
They built up an industrial site just for business, for industrial, zoned.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, there is no wildlife in that area. It gets harder and harder for them to survive.
Greed reigns over what common sense. It's like, instead of preserving that and looking at it from a Earth perspective, it's just like, give me my money. And that whole kind of mentality globally, with global warming and pollution and all that, is what's going to bring the Earth down, I think, in the middle of this century. It's going to look like, you know, a horrible world here in 50 years unless people get their acts together and, you know, act globally.
Well, I want
to
ask...
The reason why a lot of people go out there and they try to fight back, they try to protest. I don't support PETA, for example, for what they do because they go too extreme. And there is a point of understanding of what people do in a bad way or what people do in a good way. But that's a different version of what life is all about. There are so many things that we try to survive on this land and as a human being. And we're not just called Native people. We're not just called non-Native. We're called human beings. And we have to be considered as a caretakers. We're responsible for taking care of this land. And if we don't take care of it in a good way, then we're going to lose it, and the Earth's going to fight back, and you're not going to be here. And the thing is that we have to teach our youth. And anyone who lives on the, talks on the airways, like I have my own radio show, and I talk about the health sense of life and to teach others about sharing and caring and not having to say, I hate my politician, because you should say, I feel pity for that person, and you should need to share information. Write to your politician. Tell them what you don't like, you dislike. Let people know how you feel. If you don't put it on paper, how can they hear you?
Sure, take action of some type.
Here's a question I had for the whole panel, actually, or a comment. I'm sorry, Derek.
Yeah,
I need to...
We have a question for Jill.
Well, it isn't. Is there a question?
We have a fella by the name of Jack.
Okay.
And his birthday is in June, and he's 36 years old, Jill.
Okay.
And he wants to know, is he going to marry his girlfriend, and is she the girl for him?
No.
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. I don't see him marrying her.
Sorry, Jack.
There's going to be someone else.
In regards to the Earth, though.
With the name Linda.
Linda.
Jack Linda. And Linda.
Jack and Linda. No, I had a question.
So if anybody's out there and in live chat room for
yeah.
the show. You know, if anybody's listening and doesn't know, get onto the chat room and register real fast. It's very easy and free. And if you have a question for the panel, you're more than welcome to ask on the chat room and we'll relay it to the panel.
Definitely, for sure.
Can you say something? Tell this person that I don't see this person that he's with leaving his wife.
What was that again, Jill? I'm sorry.
Leaving her husband. I'm sorry. Like really getting divorced.
Ooh.
Hey, I got a question.
Not getting a divorce.
This is getting very good.
Someone else had a question there. Was that you, Victor? Or
I had a question for Jill. Jill, am I going to get into public speaking this year in a big way?
Oh, absolutely. This is 2008 is going to be phenomenal for you.
Hey, I like the way you think.
Besides public speaking, a lot more media. A lot more media.
Okay.
Phenomenal.
Can I say something else?
Sure, go ahead, Derek.
For him.
Yeah.
You got to really seriously get back into writing your book.
Okay.
He's a procrastinator.
Don't put it on.
I can believe that.
He's a procrastinator.
Yeah, I know. That's a never-ending deal, writing that book.
In regards to the Earth, guys, I did want to make a comment or a question or something like that. And I'm wondering just if I get your guys' viewpoint. And this is going to be hilarious when I say it at the very beginning, but I think it makes sense. For everybody on the panel here, including the people sitting in the studio here, have you guys seen the film The Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes.
You saw it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I've talked to a lot of people about this film, and this relates to the Earth and what we were talking about before with Derek.
It's full of bull.
Well, no. Well, it's a film. I know that. But the very last scene is what I found interesting about that movie, because you're wondering why all this stuff is going on, right? Why is all this stuff going on? Why is everything getting freezing and everybody being frozen to death and stuff like that? And I do agree that, yeah, it's a film and it's not really based on a lot of reality, but I did take something away from that. And there was the very last scene of the film where the two people that aren't getting frozen to death, they're on a space capsule, right? And they're looking down on the Earth and they're like, you know, It looks like it was after all the storms stopped happening and all these huge storms stopped eating the Earth alive and whatever. And the last thing they said was, wow, look at the planet now. It looks so fresh and clean, right? And I've talked about that movie to people about that, and I was wondering if they understood that or recognized that also. My thing, I thought that really made a statement that, and it's what you're saying also, Derek, and what everybody's been saying on this line, is that maybe the Earth is going to react in its own way, in its own best interest, and not in our best interest. Yes,
it is right now. If you look at the icebergs, how they're melting very fast, especially in Australia in that area. They're coming down really fast. How come the waters are rising so quickly? I made a prediction over 12 years ago that the waters are going to rise high in the area where I live about 200 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going like, what? I said, it's going to happen if you guys don't be aware of what's going on. Because when you start to take down property, start clear-cutting lands, you start losing. And then what creates, if there's nothing there for the icebergs to stay cold, then it starts to do the opposite and the temperature changes. So basically, anything that was frozen will become tropical. Anything that was tropical will become frozen.
Does anybody else have anything to say about that?
Sure, no, but I do agree that, boy, you know, as the ice caps melt, or glaciers, whatever, the water has to go somewhere. There will be big floods. So whatever is a coastline right now will no longer be a coastline. Maybe as little as 50 years from now. You know, who knows? There's all sorts of models on computers to show what would happen as the sea level rises. And if you do the math, they probably have it all figured out somewhere in Washington, D.C. They probably just don't want to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
It probably will come faster than we think. It's my guess.
Yeah, homie, what's
because
up?
Because I'm sure greed will overwhelm common sense like it has for thousands of years.
Homie, did you have something to say on this?
Yeah, I have something in case Jack is still listening, because he left the chat room, but he left this comment to say thank you. How did she know that my girlfriend was married?
Oh.
I forgot she's psychic. God, she's good. Thank you. Have a great show. All of you are great.
Can I ask you guys something? Do you guys always get that, like, how did you know that?
Yeah. What a concept.
What did he say?
I said, what a concept.
I get something similar, but it's usually like, do you know anything?
Yeah,
you know anything?
Yeah, we get the opposite. Like, why do we have to explain this to you?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we get.
Can I say something about this global warming?
Yeah,
sure, please.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of changes with the weather, and yes, it's, you know, one year, like this year, everyone was saying, oh, my God, and homie, you were on my radio with me, right? And I kept saying, you know, something like last year, I kept saying Cuba was going to get smashed over and over again, and it did. And, but, you know, I kept saying for, you know, Florida, homie, we both, you that said it on my show as well, that we're going to be okay. All I said was, tell everybody to cut their trees down, remember?
Yeah, that's all.
I said during, like, the month of September and October, make sure the trees are cut, because it's just going to be winds. And that's what I keep seeing. Maybe a 1,000 years from now, or, you know, 200 years from now, you know, that's when, you know, the waters are going to get, you know, little by little, the waters will get closer. But I really, you know, with all these people scaring people and putting all this negativity, if I could say, in people's minds, you know, this is just like the world's going to end in 2012, people are saying. That's so far-fetched. And all these people are putting this in everyone's brain. Everyone's getting all worried. They're all getting nervous, you know. And you're going to see 2012 comes. You're going to see 2030 comes. So the states are still going to be here. Everything, you know, yes, like I said before, there'll be earthquakes. There'll be mudslides and all these other things.
Yeah, because this glacier melting and ice caps melting, that's kind of new, relatively speaking.
Right.
I mean, we can tell it's corporate greed gone haywire.
That is true, but the one thing is that, you know, people said Florida, you know, like Florida's going to be underwater. Florida's not going to be underwater. They said New York City, where the Statue of Liberty is going to be, is going to be underwater. That's not going to be underwater. I'm sorry?
I said there I disagree. Watching, you know, 6 feet of coastline you know, every couple days or whatever when storms come up. I mean, and you know, just looking at how far places are above sea level and the water table and this sort of thing. And I think that, you know, the day after tomorrow did show that Mother Nature will correct itself. I also believe that, and this isn't in a going to scare anybody way, this is more in a personal empowerment way, that psychics, metaphysicians, and even feng shui consultants tell people that their physical body is a reflection of their spirit, and their house is a reflection of that, and their community is a reflection of that, and their country is a reflection, and it shows how all of these things are truly interconnected. And when you look at, from the feng shui side of things, that water is the closest thing to spiritual in physical form. So to watch the earth cleanse itself with either water, meaning like the glacial, the ice caps, or even frozen water, like the day after tomorrow, whatever, I find the symbology there being very unique, where mm-hmm. so many people right now, and even leading up to the pinnacle of probably 2012, are really having their own internal cleansing, that there is going to be a manifestation of that in our physical world. We can see this correlation between people and their house and their environment in quantum physics, like every time you look at it. There's something to be said there, but it's what came first, the chicken or the egg? Are the people causing the environmental, or is it the environmental trying to punish the human? You know, and so to look at how those dynamics are actually connected brings a great deal of power, personal power, to people to make choices and to make changes in their lives.
I'll tell you what, I look at the other creatures on the earth, it's like I don't see cats really messing with Mother Nature that much, or birds, or lizards, or insects, but I see people really affecting the earth. And I'm thinking if there is a natural enemy of Mother Earth, it would have to be the human creature. Maybe it wasn't like that 100 years ago or 200 years ago, but since the Industrial Revolution, that's kind of how it's become. I think that once we're gone, I think cockroaches are going to be the true master of the planet.
And I've often heard that, too, is that the only thing that's going to be alive is Keith Richards and cockroaches. I heard some comedian said that. I'm not calling that one either. I mean, I heard a comedian say that. That it's going to be just nothing but cockroaches and Keith Richards. Bill Hicks actually called that.
Did you see that movie with Will Smith?
Oh, yes.
Legend.
I have seen
Legend.
It.
Legend.
I have not seen it.
That's an excellent movie.
I'm saving my lunch money for Alien vs. Predator on Christmas Day.
That one ancient one had a question. I'm sorry. Bonnie, you want to ask that question?
he wanted to know if extraterrestrials would be making an appearance soon.
They already have.
I think they make an appearance all the time.
They already have.
They had to me, because I'm actually myself, I am an abductee, so I've seen them already myself many times.
Well, which kinds have you seen?
They're 10 feet tall.
Were they insects or Swedes or the grays or the blues or what?
Oh, they look like us. With the guy that I met, his name is Yael. He's about 10 feet tall, human-like. They call themselves the Anunnaki.
Are they gross looking?
Go ahead.
Do they look gross or do they look acceptable to look at?
No, they look like us. They're still 10 feet tall. You know, the guy I met, he had a beard. Nice fellow. Took me on the ship, went for a ride on the planet itself. I was there for a couple hours and then came back down, and my wife, he was in shock when she noticed there was something different about me. This happened about 9 years ago, the last time I went, and I've seen what the ships look like. They can carry as many as 300,000 people inside. They're almost like a donut shape inside. It's hollow like a rainbow when it goes around, spins in the in center, not the outside, but the in center. They're called the guardians of the planet. They actually watch our Earth. They protect it. So nothing from the outside is actually bad.
What they tell you about what we're doing.
Yeah, they're the ones that they give me some of the warnings that I have to be aware of to share. But they only give me the messages that are important to say, be aware of this, share this. They don't show me everything that's going to happen, you know, all the bad things. He says, why should I make you feel what he told me, why should I make you feel really bad in another country that you can't even do anything about unless you were there participating yourself, that you can actually say, you know what, your country needs this, needs help over here, dangers are going to happen. So he tells me what's going to happen in our area between the U.S. and Canada. But if there are other things going to happen, if I want to find about other events going to happen in other parts of the world, he says, you have to ask me or else I can't show you because there's no sense. So I ask him, and then he shows me different things that are going to happen. But he looks for the catastrophes, anything that may become an event, or even, like, for example, even a war. But I'll tell you this, like, even though I told him about this man in the blue turban, you know, we've always been told this for a long, long time, who's going to be considered, as we call, the third Antichrist. He says that's already been taken care of. It will not event.
Now what? He said it's not going to be an event?
No, it will not take place because he said he's already been surpassed or already passed. So the Third World War will never exist. He said because everybody's beginning to, he says that everyone's beginning to wake up now to not to fight, but to also basically to become family. Like basically we're all here to support each other.
Right.
If you look at it, when we had 9/11, 2.5 million people in Britain protested in the streets, said we didn't want to go to war. But yet their prime minister said, the hell with you, we're going to war.
Right.
It's because they made that bill, a deal with on the bill with Bush. We in Canada had a 1951 war contract. We did not want to fight. We had our Prime Minister, Paul Martin, saying we're not going to go to war because we're considered basically peacekeepers. Since we have another new Prime Minister, he's pro-war, and he's making our guys not become peacekeepers but to be military soldiers, to basically shoot at what you see. And that's not what we did not agree with. But the United States said, you made a deal with us in 51. You have to do what we expect you to because this is the deal. And right now, a lot of Canadian soldiers don't want to fight because we feel it's not our war because nobody really hurt us here, right? Nobody hurt anybody in France.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody hurt anybody in Australia nor in England. But yet, we did assist to help if you need our help. But yet, a lot of American soldiers, even coming out of the blue right now, are saying, this is a farce. We're not fighting for anything. And the Americans now, Bush turned everything around and said, oh, now you're all communists, or you're like, you know, you're actually traded to the countries. So they're trying to find means and ways to make people manipulated. And so here we are in this room together, we're saying, it's time to wake up the consciousness, and we're actually starting to see more, and people begin to listen. And they begin to say, you know what, I don't agree, I don't want to fight. We want to make peace.
That's an excellent thought. Why don't we take now, here's the question.
How about if we go over to Scott Christensen for a little bit?
Well, homie, I got a question for you. Do we want to keep going here? We had this thing, we schedule it till 8 o'clock, but I know we're all fully prepared to go to the end of the show if you guys would like to. Would you guys want
sure.
to do that?
I'm okay with that.
We wanted to, for Jill's purpose and now all of us' purpose, we'll give some predictions after the next break.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay. I like that.
Is that cool?
I know Scott Christensen had his experience with the visitations from outer space or aliens.
Could we do that after the break, homie? Would that be cool?
Sure.
All right, why don't we do that? We're gonna keep going here.
Excellent.
We had this thing booked till 8 o'clock, but I figured we were going to go over it. That's why I'm like, let's just leave it open.
I'm glad you didn't book anyone.
Because this is very interesting. And there's some other things, too, I want to talk about. There's some other things on our list here that I want to bring out also.
But in the next hour, we'll be doing, we'll talk about Scott. We'll talk on aliens. We'll also talk about predictions for 2008 because I know that
there's some interesting
Jill
things.
Has to, you know.
Yeah, Jill's going to be out at 8:30, but the Cattell had something interesting I want to talk about, too. But we'll come
Excellent.
Back with Scott. And talk about his experience. Going good. This is Prophecy Night. Yes.
I love Prophecy Night.
We'll be right back.